الله رب العالمين صلوات الله وسلامه على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. After this, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, we would like to extend our apologies for being late due to circumstances beyond our control. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to bless all of you brothers and sisters as well for your patience. Today, we've been blessed and honored to have one of the premier students of knowledge to come to us there in our area in Jersey as well as here in Philadelphia. And in mentioning that, I think it's important, brothers, because we've been saying for the longest that from the usul of the Dawah al-Salafiyah or the Dawah al-Mubarakah, from the principles of this dawah is an extremely important principle, and that is the principle of the ihtiram of the ulama, that we should respect the scholars. And when I say that we should respect the scholars, no one should misunderstand and think that I'm calling our Shaykh Abu al-Haris Ali Hassan al-Halabi, may Allah preserve and protect him, a scholar. As the hadith that our mother has transmitted to us or narrated to us, Aisha Umm Abdullahi رضي الله تعالى عنها, she said in this hadith that's been collected by Imam Muslim, أمرنا أن ننزل الناس منازلهم. We have been ordered to put the people in their proper places. So we say that our Shaykh Abu al-Haris is not a scholar, but alhamdulillah, he's been blessed to have been given the opportunity to take his knowledge from the mouth of one of the greatest scholars of this time. After that, I also want to mention to you brothers and you sisters a point that we need to ponder upon. And that is that 25 or 30 years ago, many of us, or some of us, we used to take a trip out to Chicago to participate in Savior's Day, to listen to the lies that were being told on Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we spent a lot of money towards that effort. And now, after 30 years, in 1996, we have brothers from Philadelphia and from New York and New Jersey going out to Chicago to participate in the conference that's out there that the people are talking about. Allah said and His Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the understanding of the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is, if anything, a clear indication of the development of the Islamic community, alhamdulillah. And it's a clear indication that this dawah that many of the people, unfortunately, do not understand, is spreading and growing. So with that being the case, it honors me to be here today, to be the translator for Sheikh Ali Hassan, because he himself was asking questions about the brothers in Philadelphia. And I was afraid that when we came here, maybe many of you were going to go home because we were late for more than an hour and a half. But to see that the people remained is a clear indication that the people have this hirs or this serious desire to get educated and to get benefited and benefit in the deen. So without any further ado, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to hand this opportunity over to the Sheikh Abu al-Haris Ali Hassan al-Halabi to share with us, inshallah, that which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him. فَلْيَتَفَضَّلْ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا, من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له, وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله تعالى, وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, وشر الأمور محدثاتها, وكل محدثة بدعة, وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد. أيها الإخوة في الله، إننا نحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى أن جعلنا مسلمين، وهذه هي الهداية الكبرى، ونحمده جل في علاه أن جعلنا للسنة متبعين، وهذه هي الهداية التامة. فإن العبد المؤمن الذي يدعو ربه آناء الليل وأطراف النهار قائلا اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، إنما هو يريد أن يحصل هدايتين. أما الأولى فهي الهداية إلى الصراط وهو الإسلام، وأما الثانية فهي الهداية في الصراط وهو السنة. من أجل ذلك كان الإمام المبجل أحمد بن حنبل إمام أهل السنة يكثر أن يقول الحمد لله على الإسلام والسنة، حتى إنه رحمه الله سمع رجلا يقول الحمد لله على الإسلام قال قل والسنة.
Should begin, of course, by reading and rehearsing unto us some of the ayat of Khutbat al-Hajja that we're all aware of. And after that he said, my dear brothers in al-Islam, verily I praise Allah the Most High for making us Muslim and giving us the great and ultimate guidance, the Hidayah al-Kubra, the great and ultimate guidance. And I thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for putting us upon the sunnah, making us a people who are following the sunnah. And this following the sunnah is the complete guidance. He said that the believer, he's the one who stands up at night and during the day making a salah, and he says to Allah, guide us to the sirat al-mustaqim, to the straight way. This person who says this, he's asking for two types of guidance. When he stands up during the day or the night, and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put him on the sirat al-mustaqim, he's asking for two types of guidance. The first type of guidance is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends him to the sirat, sends him to the way. And that way that he wants to be sent to is al-Islam. And he asks Allah for the second type of guidance, and that is that he plants him upon the sirat, or upon the way, and that is being planted upon the sunnah. For that reason, the illustrious and honored imam, the imam of the Ahl Sunnah, the people of the sunnah and the jama'ah, al-Imam Ahmed, he used to say, praise be to Allah who has established us upon al-Islam and the sunnah. And one time, Al-Imam Ahmed was sitting in the presence of another man, and that man said, Alhamdulillah, for putting us on Al-Islam. So Al-Imam Ahmed said, and don't forget to add on to that, and the Sunnah.
ويكمل هذا الفضل الإلهي وتتم هذه المنة الربانية علينا نحن المسلمين المتبعين للسنة إن شاء الله بأن يكون لنا علم يقربنا إلى الله، ومعرفة تدنينا من رحمته، وفقه يعرفنا أحكام الشرع ويبلغنا مدارك الكتاب والسنة. وهذا العلم له في الشرع فضله، وله في الدين مكانته، وله بين أهل العلم منزلته، ولا يتم له هذا الفضل ولا تلك المكانة ولا هاتيك المنزلة إلا بالعمل الذي هو لبه ولبابه وأسه وأساسه وقاعدته وبابه. فمن كان له علم لم يرث به عملا ولم يقم به فعلا فإن علمه وبال عليه، يزداد به سوءا ويضل به صراطا، ويكون له مثل السوء كمثل ما قال الله جل في علاه حاكيا عن اليهود: مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها، مثل الذين حملوا التوراة بالعلم ثم لم يحملوها بالعمل كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا. فمن كان حاله كحالهم فإن مصيره كمصيرهم، ومآله كمآلهم، ومثله كمثلهم، أعاذنا الله وإياكم.
Shit, what I have to say, brothers, that the way in which this honor, which he spoke about in his opening statement, that he thanks Allah for placing us upon al-Islam and the Sunnah, this fadl from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the way that it is completed is that it becomes absolutely mandatory upon us, the people who are trying their best to follow the Sunnah, that you become people who have acquired and obtained knowledge, so that that knowledge that you are searching for and that you're acquiring will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will cause you to be the recipients of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that knowledge will allow you as well to get the fiqh, or the understanding of the ahkam of the shara, of this religion, the legislation of the deen. And that it will place you firmly upon the book and upon the sunnah. He said that this knowledge has a very exalted place in the religion of al-Islam, and it is extremely honorable, especially in light of the fact that the people of knowledge have a special place in the deen. And this honor will not be completed, brothers, except that the people who acquire knowledge, you yourselves, this knowledge that you acquire, it has to be accompanied with action, with works. Because the actions should be coming as a result of the knowledge. And that those actions are the foundation of the knowledge that you have. And it is the principles of that knowledge in which you're going to be working with. And also, this knowledge that we are hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with, if the person does not work according to his knowledge, what's going to happen is his situation is going to be increased in going towards that which is wrong. And his lack of working with his knowledge will cause him to go away from the straight way. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about in the Quran, when he told us about the Jews in an ayat, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily the example of those who have been made responsible to carry the Torah is like the example of some jackasses or some donkeys who are carrying on their backs books. What an evil example for the people who reject the signs of Allah. He said that those who are responsible for carrying the Torah here is the knowledge, and they did not work by that knowledge. He said, so let it be known that whoever, even though these ayats are talking about the Jews, whoever his example is similar to them, these ayats are applicable to him. And his example is like their example.
والفضائل الواردة في الكتاب والسنة في بيان فضل العلم وشرف أهله كثيرة جدا، أقتبس منها في هذا اللقاء شيئا يسيرا. أما أول ذلك فقول الله تبارك وتعالى: شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط. فهذه أيها الإخوة آية من كتاب الله يستشهد فيها الله تبارك وتعالى على أعظم مشهود وهو التوحيد بأعظم شهود وهم ثلاثة. أما أولهم فهو الله جل في علاه، وثانيهم هم الملائكة أمناء الله الذين لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون، وأما ثالثهم فهم أهل العلم، وما ذاك إلا لفضل العلم وبيان منزلته وعظيم درجته وكبير مكانته. فالله عز وجل وهو رب الأرباب ومالك يوم الدين وخالق السماوات والأراضين ومن فيهن أجمعين يصطفي من بين أولئك كلهم فقط أهل العلم، يصطفيهم على أعظم ما يستشهد به عليه وهو توحيد الله، التوحيد الذي لم يخلق الله الخلق إلا من أجله، وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون، إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. فهذه آية من كتاب الله تبين ما للعلم من منزلة بما لأهله من مكانة.
الشيخ went on to say, إخوان, that those آيات and those أحاديث that talk about the virtues of knowledge and the superiority of the knowledge in the Kitab and in the Sunnah, they are very, very many, they're numerous. And he said that, inshallah, in this sitting that we're going to have right now, he's only going to expound upon a few of them. And he wants to begin showing us the virtues of knowledge and the people of knowledge based upon the Quran and the Sunnah. First of all, by this ayah in the Quran, in which Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said, Allah bears witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Him. And also His angels bear witness to that fact, and the people of knowledge bear witness to that fact. They are bearing witness to that in justice. The Shaykh said, brothers, this is an ayah from the ayat of the Quran, in which Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala bears witness to the greatest thing that you can bear witness to, and that is the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those things in this ayah that bore witness to this greatest thing that can be borne witness to or for are three things, and three things only in this ayah, and that is that Allah ta'ala himself bore witness to his oneness, to his Tawheed. And the second thing is that he caused the angels, who are the workers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who Allah described in the Quran as being the ones who do not disobey Allah and what He orders them to do, but they do what they are told, they also were caused to bear witness to the Tawheed of Allah. And then after them, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala caused in this ayah the people of knowledge, Ahlul Ilm, to bear witness to the fact that there is no other deity or God worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason for that is no other than the fact that it shows us the virtue and the superiority of the level and the place of the people of knowledge, and that Allah ta'ala will mention that. Allah being the Lord of all the Lords. Allah Ta'ala being the Lord of the Yawm al-Din, the Day of Reckoning. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala being the Khaliq, or the Creator, of the heavens and the earth, or the earth, the plural, and everything that is between the heavens and the earth. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, out of all that He has created in the heavens and the earth and that which is between, He chose for Himself in this ayah to pick the people of knowledge, and as opposed to picking anything else. So that shows us, ikhwan, the importance of the fact that the people of knowledge, and knowledge itself has a very important place in our religion. The fact that Allah caused them to bear witness to His Tawheed. This Tawheed is the reason that Allah Ta'ala created the heavens, and He created the earth, and He created the people, as He said in the Quran, "And I have not created the jinn and the mankind except that they should worship me. I do not ask that they provide for me or that they feed me." But Allah is Ar-Razzaq. Allah is the provider. And Allah is the one who has might, the quwwa, and Allah is Mateen. Allah is great.
وكذلك يقول الله تبارك وتعالى يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. يرفع الله يرفعهم في الدنيا ويرفعهم في الآخرة. يرفعهم في الدنيا بأن يكونوا معلمين للناس، والرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول إن الله وملائكته يصلون على معلم الناس الخير. فأي شرف أعظم وأي رفعة أكبر في مثل هذا المقام. ويرفعهم في الآخرة بأن يكونوا مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين، وحسن أولئك رفيقا، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول العلماء ورثة الأنبياء. فإذ الأمر كذلك، فإن هذه الرفعة الطيبة وهذه الرفعة المباركة إنما تنال من نال من العلم قدرا ينيله هذا الفضل وهذا الخير وهذا البر الذي يكون به عبدا ربانيا كما يريد الله تبارك وتعالى.
Brothers, the Shaykh went on to say, another proof that shows us the virtues of knowledge and the superiority of the people who have been blessed and gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be people of knowledge is the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah will raise in degree those people from amongst you who have iman. Allah will raise in degree those people from amongst you who have been given iman and knowledge. He will raise them in degree. The Shaykh went on to say that this raising in degree will take place in the dunya as well as in the akhirah, in this life and the next life. As it relates to the dunya, the person being raised in the dunya is the fact that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He makes the people of knowledge those who teach the other people their knowledge that they've acquired. And with that being the case, we need to look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in which he said, verily Allah and His angels send their salutation upon the people who teach the other people good. The Shaykh went on to say, is there anything that you can think of more honorable than this statement? Is there any good that you can think of that's better than this good, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His malaika will give their salutations upon the people who teach the other people good? That's in the dunya. As for in the hereafter, the people who have been given knowledge, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will raise them in the hereafter in that He will make them in the company of the Prophet and the truthful ones and the ones who are the shuhada and the fari, the righteous people. And what a beautiful fraternity they are, as the ayah said. The Shaykh went on to say, from this last statement, the raising up in the hereafter, all we have to do is look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said that the scholars, the ulama, they are the inheritors of the Prophet. The scholars are the inheritors of the Prophet. So this raising is good, and it's wholesome, and it's beautiful. So whoever has taken it, and whoever has received it, he will be blessed. And this good, and this bir, that the servant should be doing it, he should be doing it the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for him to do it.
لمثل هذا الفرق وبمثل هذا البيان كان الناس كلهم بحاجة إلى العلم، وكان من قل علمه منهم بحاجة إلى أن يكون لصيقا بأهل العلم، حريصا عليهم، راغبا بهم، سائلا إياهم، حتى لو كان هذا الإنسان ذا مكانة في الدنيا وذا جاه وذا منصب، فإنه يكون في حاجة للعلم ولأهل العلم. حتى قال بعض الحكام، بعض السلاطين، وقد رأى مجالس العلم تغص بالطلاب بين يدي العلماء، فماذا قال؟ قال: هذا العلم يرفع المملوك إلى درجة الملوك، يرفع المملوك أي العبد الخادم الرقيق إلى درجة الملوك. ولعله من أجل هذا قال الله، أو قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن الله ليرفع بهذا القرآن، وفي رواية: بهذا العلم، أقواما ويخفض به آخرين. إن الله ليرفع بهذا العلم أقواما ويخفض به آخرين، يرفعهم من غير نسب لهم، ومن غير عزة فيهم، ومن غير جاه يتقوون به، فإذا بهم يرتفعون بالعلم ويعلون بالفقه، ويخفضهم ولو كانوا أعز الناس نسبا وأكبرهم حسبا وأعظمهم جاها ولم يكونوا على علم وعلى بينة، فإنهم سيكونون على سفل وانخفاض وذل بقدر ما فيهم من قلة العلم أو الجهل.
The Shaykh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him, said that for this reason, Ikhwan, we need to understand that all of the people, irregardless of who they are in dire need of the possessors of knowledge. All of the people, they are in need of the people who have been given knowledge, and they are the possessors of knowledge. So with that being the case, they should be people who are desiring to hold on to and to latch on to the people of knowledge. They should be people who are desiring to take that which they don't understand in order to ask the people of knowledge and to be in the company of the people of knowledge. He said that irregardless of this person's status in this world, whether he has a very high status in the dunya, whether he has a lot of jah or a lot of a high place or a powerful job and position, this person, like everyone else, is in need, in dire need of the people who possess knowledge. And for that reason, some of the rulers of the past, when they saw and observed the people who came to the masjid and they came to the lesson of the person who possessed knowledge, they looked at them and they observed how they were looking and they were attentive. He said, when those rulers saw that, they said, verily this knowledge will raise the slave, the man who is in slavery and bondage. If he possesses this knowledge, it will raise him to the level of the king, the ruler, the leader. And the Sheikh went on to say, maybe that's the reason that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in an authentic hadith when he said, verily Allah will raise with this Quran. And in another narration that's authentic, he said, verily Allah will raise with this knowledge a group of people, and then another group of people, he will put them down and make them lowly. The Sheikh went on to say that this raising up has nothing to do with the fact except that they have knowledge. It has nothing to do with anything except that they are possessors of knowledge. Even though their lineage was a lineage that was not respected, even though they had no power, even though they had no position, it was because of their knowledge and their knowledge alone. Because of their sifr or their understanding of the religion. As for the other people who have a big nasab, a big lineage, or they are very powerful people, but they have no knowledge, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will put those people and make them lowly. And their lowliness, their being put down and being humble, will be relative to how much knowledge they possess. Meaning, the less knowledge that they possess, the lower they'll be put down.
بيان مكانة هذه المفارقة بين أهل العلم وأهل الجهل، ولبيان حاجة من ليس بعالم إلى العلماء، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. وهذا الأمر من الله واجب ولازم، وليس الأمر مجرد نافلة أو رغبة تنتاب الإنسان وترد قلبه، له أن يفعلها وينفذها، وله أن يتركها أو يجتنبها. لا، إن الأمر جد، وهو فرض لازم، فلا بد لمن جهل شيئا أن يسعى إلى تعلمه، أو على الأقل أن يسعى إلى السؤال عنه. وها هنا ترد القصة الصحيحة المروية في السنن أن النبي أو أن بعض الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم خرجوا في سفر، وقد كانوا في غزاة، فأصيب واحد منهم بجراحة في رأسه لما حيث شج رأسه، فإذا بالقوم ينامون، فأصابت هذا الجريح جنابة، فلما استيقظ للصباح أراد الصلاة، فأخبر إخوانه وأصحابه أن عليه جنابة، فقالوا له تغتسل، فأمروه بالاغتسال، فاغتسل، فإذا بجرحه يعظم عليه ويشتد عليه حتى يهلك ويموت. فلما علم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بذلك دعا عليهم وقال: قتلوه قتلهم الله، أما لو سألوا لعلموا، فإنما شفاء العين أي الجهل السؤال، تماما كمثل قوله تعالى: فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. فالسؤال ليس نفلا أو مستحبا أو عائدا إلى الرغبة والمحبة، وإنما هو عائد إلى الحتم والتوكيد والوجوب والفرض الذي يأثم تاركه ويكون عاصيا مجتنبه والمبتعد عنه. ولمثل هذه المفارقة أيضا وبمثلها قال الله تعالى: وما أعظمه من كلام، قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون، هل يستويان مثلا؟ لا والله. وهذه المنزلة إنما تعظم الله في قلوب أصحابها، فكلما كان الإنسان أعلم بالله كلما كان أكثر خشية له وأعظم إجلالا له وأشد هيبة منه وأبعد عن معصيته وأقرب إلى طاعته، كما قال الله عز وجل: إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. نعم.
Sheikh went on to say, in continuing ikhwan, brothers and sisters, to explain to you all the difference between the virtues of the people who are possessors of knowledge and the people who do not have knowledge, the people of ignorance. There's another ayah that's worthy of our consideration, and that is the statement of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, ask those who know, the people of dhikr, the people of knowledge, if you do not know. Allah has ordered us in this ayah when He said, and ask, so therefore ask those who know, if you do not know. Ask the people of dhikr, if you do not know. The Shaykh said that this is an order from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that is wajib, obligatory, and it is absolute. And it is not from what he would consider to be nafilah. If you wanted to do it, you can leave it. If you want to do it, you do it, and if you want to leave it, you leave it. He said, no, this is an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is obligatory upon you. So therefore, when we look at that fact, we understand that the issue is serious, and that it is fard, it is compulsory, and it is lazim, it is something that you have no choice in. That the person who is ignorant about something in his religion, it is a duty upon him to do those things and to ask those questions to raise off of himself that ignorance. And with that being the case, he said that he wants to share with you a story, an authentic story that has come to us in the Sunnah that took place with some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, when they went out in one of their expeditions and they had a war. And in the war, one of them was afflicted with a wound in his head. So when the time came for them to sleep, they all went to sleep, and one from amongst them, in the morning when they woke up to make salah, he woke up with a janaba, in the state of ceremonial impurity. He needed to make a ghusl. So he went to his companions and he said to them, what do you people think about my condition? What can I do? They said to him, you have to make a ghusl. You have the water, you have to make the ghusl. So when he made the ghusl, his wound became greater than it was prior to his ghusl, and he subsequently died as a result of washing the wound. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to know about that incident, he made a dua against those companions, the people who gave this judgment and this ruling. And he said, those people have slaughtered that man. May Allah also slaughter them. Wasn't it enough for them that if they didn't know, that they should ask? Verily, the medication or the antidote for the sickness of ignorance is that the person should ask if you don't know. He said, this incident, along with the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, goes along directly and completely with the ayat that he's mentioning here. So ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. He went on to say, ikhwan, this question that we're supposed to ask the people of knowledge when we don't know, it is not a question that is connected to our desire. It's not a question connected to what we like. He said, but instead, it is, as he has said, and he reiterates and repeats, it is something that is obligatory and something that is compulsory. And let it be known here today that the person who intentionally leaves off asking the question that he doesn't know the answer to, he's sinning. And to continue to explain to you the importance of the difference between the two groups, the people of knowledge and the people of ignorance, all we have to do is look at another one of the ayat of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the rhetorical question, are they equal, those who know and those who do not know? Are they on the same footing, those who know And those who do not know, the Shaykh went on to answer the question by saying, La wallahi, they're not equal. So this place, this honorable, respected place of the one who has knowledge, what it does for him is, it increases him in the khashya, or the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it increases him in the respect that he has towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it makes him a person who's aware of his behavior as it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah has told us in the Quran, verily those who fear Allah, those who truly fear Allah from amongst His servants are the ulama. Verily those who fear Allah from amongst His servants are the ulama, those who have been endowed and blessed with knowledge.
ثم إن الآيات التي فيها أيضا فضل العلم ومكانة أهله على طريقة الاستنباط والنظر كثيرة أيضا، ولكننا نكتفي بما ذكرنا مشيرين إلى شيء مما ورد من ذلك في سنة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حتى نطبق علما وعملا التلازم الواجب وجوده بين الكتاب والسنة، بحيث يكون الكتاب والسنة صنوين لا يفترقان، ووجهين لا ينفصلان. والأدلة من السنة على فضل العلم وأهله أيضا كثيرة وكثيرة جدا. أبتدئ فيها بحديث معروف مشهور، وهو حديث عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه الذي يقول فيه: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات، وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى، إلى آخر الحديث. فهذا الحديث أيها الإخوة فيه دليل على فضل العلم، كما أن فيه دليلا على وجوب الإخلاص. فيه دليل على وجوب الإخلاص بأن يكون طلب المسلم العلم فضلا عن قيامه بأي عمل والتزامه بأي فعل، أن يكون ذلك كله مبتغاه فيه وجه الله، لا يريد جزاء من أحد ولا ذكرا ولا شكرا ولا مكانة ولا منزلة، فمن فعل فالنار النار. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا تعلموا العلم لتماروا به السفهاء، أو تجاروا به العلماء، أو تلفتوا إليكم به أنظار الناس، أو تتصدروا في المجالس، فمن فعل فالنار النار، فمن فعل فالنار النار. وأما فضل العلم في هذا الحديث فهو مبني على اشتراط النية في كل عمل. إنما الأعمال بالنيات، فكل عمل تعمله وكل عبادة تقوم بها يجب أن تسبقها نية، وهذه النية هل هي مبنية على علم أم قائمة على جهل؟ فالواضح البين والظاهر الأكيد أن النية لا تكون نية صحيحة لصاحبها قبل أن يعلم حكم الله فيها، وقبل أن يعرف وجه الصواب بها، حتى يكون له أصل
of the Quran that talk about the virtues of knowledge, there are many. And also, along with that, is the way that we re-enter those ayats in order to extract from those ayats the point that we're trying to make. When you read those ayats and you make what's called an istinbat, you look and you extract from those ayats the proofs to show this is the importance of knowledge. He said that there are many. But we're going to take that which we've dealt with already and a few things now from the Sunnah. He said, because we want to be a people who do what is necessary when you're trying to practice the Quran and the Sunnah, and that is, it necessitates that when you want to be on this thing, that the Kitab and the Sunnah, they have to coexist with one another and run parallel to one another. Not one going one way and the other one going the other way. So I'll begin with a hadith that is well known by you brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, and it is the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily the actions will be judged by their intention, and verily the person will get that which he intended, to the end of the hadith. Verily the actions are judged by the intent, and the person will get that which he intended. He said that this hadith, brothers, is a hadith that is clear proof that shows us the virtues and the superiority of knowledge. Just as it shows us the clear proof of the importance of and the obligatory state of al-ikhlas. That whenever the Muslim wants to do an affair, he has to have accompanied with that affair al-ikhlas. The hadith clearly shows that. The Shaykh said that when he does this affair, he should not desire any reward from anyone, nor should he desire to be mentioned on the tongues of the people, nor should he be desiring to get thanks from the people, nor should he desire to get a special place in the hearts and the minds of the people. Because whoever does that, he tries to do the action. As this hadith is talking about, whoever does that action to get the reward or the mention or the thanks or the place for the people, he will get the fire will be his place. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in a hadith that clearly illustrates to us, when he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not acquire knowledge in order to argue with the ignorant people, and do not acquire knowledge in order to try to argue with the ulama, and do not acquire knowledge in order to cause the people's eyes to look at you, and do not acquire knowledge in order to sit in the front of the majlis, to be the one who's sitting and everyone's looking at him. For verily, whoever does this, the hellfire, the hellfire. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, just as this hadith shows, as I've just mentioned, the importance of al-ikhlas, is also a clear proof to show us the importance of knowledge and the virtues of knowledge. And that is because in every single deed that the person wants to do, there's a condition that has to be fulfilled. And that condition is that his niyyah has to be solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So any work or any action or any form of ibadah that he wants to do, he has to have in place his intention, the proper niyyah. So therefore, this niyyah, I want to ask you a question. And that question is, should the niyyah be built upon ignorance, or should the niyyah that has to be present, should it be built upon knowledge? He said the answer is clear. This niyyah has to be a niyyah that is built upon knowledge in order for the action to be considered to be salih or accepted. Before the servant knows or does anything, he has to be sure that what he is about to do, it has its place in the deen. It has its asl, or his origin, somewhere in the deen. And his feet, as a result of that, will be firmly established when he goes about doing that affair. So therefore, this ayah or hadith shows us the virtues of knowledge, because the niyyah cannot be in place properly except with knowledge.
ومن ذلك أيضا أعني من أحاديث النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام الواردة في باب فضل العلم قوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم وكلمة مسلم في اللغة والشرع تعني الذكر والأنثى فطلب العلم حتم لازم وفرض واجب على كل مسلم كان صغيرا أم كبيرا رجلا أم امرأة ذكرا أم أنثى مثقفا قارئا أو أميا جاهلا فطلب العلم عليه واجب وكل على حسبه وكل على قدره وكل على وسعه فإن الله لا يكلف نفسا إلا وسعها فالذي لا يحسن القراءة أو الكتابة إنما يسأل فإن الواحد منا يسأل في شؤون دنياه عن جليلها وحقيرها وعن صغيرها وكبيرها فمن باب أولى أن يكون سؤاله في دينه مما يفيده في أخرى أهم وأهم حتى يكون قائما بالعبادة على وجهها الحق وبطريقها الأحق الذي به يتقرب إلى الله وعلى طريق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, that from the hadith that illustrate and show us the virtues and the importance of knowledge is a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam that's also authentic, in which he said, searching and acquiring knowledge is obligatory upon every single Muslim. The Shaykh said that this word here, Muslim, in the language and in the religion, this word Muslim is a general term that includes the male and the female. So therefore, with that being the case, searching for knowledge is incumbent upon every single Muslim, male and female, and this again is lazim, something that has to be done, and something that is obligatory, and something that is wajib, whether the person is big or small, a man or a woman, a male or a female, whether the person is a person who is educated and he reads a lot, or the person is illiterate and he's ignorant. Everyone according to his ability. Everyone according to his capability. Everyone according to that which has been made easy for him, because Allah does not burden the soul beyond its scope. The one from amongst us who he cannot read and he cannot write, it's obligatory upon him to ask the question, to search out the people so that he can ask them their question, his question. Because you find that one of us, as it relates to the dunya, will ask concerning our affairs of the dunya about every small thing and every big thing, everything that is haqir or insignificant, something that's small and lowly. He said, verily, brothers, the affairs of our deen have more rights, because the affairs of our deen are connected to the akhirah. The Shaykh, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward him with that which is good, he said, in order for us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the ibadah or the worship, that is the truth and that's going to be accepted. And in order for us to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what we have to do is, as I've said, we have to acquire knowledge according to the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained.
والعلم سبب لرحمة الله والجهل باب لغضبه وسخطه بل ولعنته. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: الدنيا ملعونة، ملعون ما فيها إلا ذكر الله ومولاه وعالما أو متعلما. فرحمة الله عز وجل تشمل أهل العلم وطلاب العلم والراغبين في العلم، وسخطه وغضبه ولعنته يشمل ذلك كله، كل ما عداه من الجهل والبعد عن العلم واجتنابه والنأي منه. فالعلم سبب للخير في الدنيا والآخرة. من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين، من يرد الله به خيرا في دنياه ورحمة في أخرى يفقهه في الدين وينله درجات العلماء العاملين ويوله منازل الفقهاء الفاهمين الذين يعلمون ما عند الله ويقومون بأمر الله ويكونون في ذلك كله على سنة رسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه.
The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, that this knowledge is a reason, one of the reasons that the person can acquire the rahmah or the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the opposite of knowledge, which is ignorance or jahil, is leading to the door of the anger of Allah and the curse of Allah. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will include the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge. And the anger of Allah and the curse of Allah will include everything other than that. Because knowledge is one of the reasons that a person will get the good in this dunya and in the akhirah, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever Allah wants good for that person, He teaches him his religion. He gives him fiqh of his religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith to show that knowledge is a reason for the rahmah of Allah and ignorance is a reason for the anger of Allah and the curse of Allah, is the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. He described this dunya, and in describing the dunya, he said the dunya is cursed. Everything inside of it is cursed, with the exception of the remembrance of Allah and everything that is connected to that, and the scholar and the one who is learning. Everything in the dunya is cursed except the remembrance of Allah and what is connected to the remembrance of Allah. And the scholar is not cursed, and the one who is learning. He went on to say, Ikhwan, that the possessors of knowledge, they will get the good in this dunya and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. And they will be from the people who Allah has raised them in degrees, the ones who work, the darajat al-amilin, the people who are working, they will be with them. And they will also get the station of the fuqaha, those people who understand al-Islam, the ones who have understanding of fiqh, and they work by that. They work by what they know, and they know Allah's rights over them, and they know the rights of the people over them, according to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
والعلم أيضا أيها الإخوة في الله باب للخير في الدنيا والآخرة. أما في الدنيا فلقد صح في السنة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: كان أخوان أحدهما يتاجر يبيع ويشتري، والآخر يطلب العلم. فجاء الذي يتجر إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يشكوه أخاه، يقول له: يا رسول الله، إن أخي يطلب العلم وأنا أتجر. فماذا قال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ قال له: لعلك ترزق به، أي لعله يكون سببا لرزقك وسعة مالك وكثرة حالك وما فيك من خير. وهو كذلك سبب في الخير الأخروي الذي يكون ختامه الجنة وما فيها من نعيم مقيم، والبعد من النار وما فيها من عذاب وجحيم. فلقد كان من دعاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي العباس عبد الله بن عباس ابن عمه وراوي سنته، أن قال له داعيا له: اللهم فقهه في الدين وعلمه التأويل. لم يقل: اللهم أدخله الجنة ونجه من النار، لأنه قد يقول ذلك له ثم إذا به يتكل على دعاء النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، لكنه دعا له بما يكون سببا في نيل رحمة الله ونيل رضا الله ودخول جنة الله والبعد عما فيه سخطه وعما يدخل به ناره وعما يوجب لعنته أعاذنا الله وإياكم. فدله على السبيل وأرشده إلى الطريق القويم الذي أوله في الدنيا كتاب الله وسنة رسوله، وآخره عند الله جنة لا يعلم ما فيها إلا خالقها.
The Sheikh Wina Ikhwan to continue to say that this knowledge is a reason also this knowledge is a reason for the good that we'll get in the dunya, or you can get in the dunya, and the good that you get in the akhirah. As for the dunya, he wants to share with you an incident that took place during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that took place between two brothers. One of the brothers, he was a merchant, a man who was busy in trade, and the other brother was a brother who, or a person who, was a student of knowledge. The one who was a merchant, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain about his brother and his behavior. So he said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, verily my brother is studying knowledge, and I'm working." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the merchant who complains about his brother who was a student of knowledge, it may be that because of him and his studying the knowledge that Allah has provided for you. All of these things that you see within yourself, this good that was taking place within this man, It may be that because of his brother who was studying knowledge, it's because of that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for him and gave him sustenance, showing the virtues of the one who gets knowledge in the cause of Allah. Also, Ikhwan, getting knowledge is a good reason why you will get the good in the hereafter. And hopefully, our end, inshaAllah, will be the Jannah. And what is inside of the Jannah. And the na'im, or the felicity and the beautiful things in the Jannah. And our end, inshaAllah, will be far away from the hellfire. And the continuous punishment in the hellfire. And the scary things that are in the hellfire. In the hellfire. He said that Abu Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet showed us another indication of the importance of knowledge in this hadith concerning Ibn Abbas, who was the rawi or the narrator of the sunnah. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said concerning him, making a dua to Allah ta'ala for Ibn Abbas, oh Allah, give him fiqh of the deen and teach him the understanding of the book. The Shaykh said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pay attention. He did not say, oh Allah, give him the Jannah. Oh Allah, give him the good of the Jannah and save him from the hellfire and the evil of the hellfire. Because had the Prophet made that dua sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it may be that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu could have started to stop doing work and depend upon the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But instead the Prophet went one step further and did that which was wiser, and he prayed and asked Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to give Ibn Abbas that thing that if he acquired it, it will bring him necessarily the rahmah of Allah and the jannah of Allah and the pleasure of Allah. And it will keep him far away from the hellfire and away from the punishment in the hellfire and away from the curse of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us and for you to be protected from this hellfire. Amen. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith concerning Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he showed us and him the way in which the person can acquire that which is going to be beneficial to him.
هذا أيها الإخوة في الله نذر قليل وكم يسير مما ورد في الكتاب والسنة من فضل العلم وبيان منزلته وعظيم مكانة أهله. سقته لكم مذكرا به نفسي أولا، ومذكرا به إخواني ثانيا، فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين. لعل الله سبحانه وتعالى يرزقنا بما سمعنا علما نافعا وعملا صالحا، ليكون ذلك كله السبيل الموصلنا إلى جنته والمبعدنا عن ناره وعذابه وسخطه ولعنته. أسأل الله لي ولكم العلم النافع والعمل الصالح، وأن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون الحق ثم يتبعونه، وأن يرزقنا وإياكم الثبات وحسن الختام، إنه سميع مجيب. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
In closing, the Shaykh said, brothers in al-Islam, my brothers, this is only a little bit of what the Quran and the Sunnah contain concerning this issue, the virtues of knowledge, and the special exalted place of the people of knowledge. And I have brought you this statement today, reminding myself first and foremost, and then reminding my brothers secondly, because the remembrance benefit the believers, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the knowledge that is beneficial and cause us to be the people who work the deeds of righteousness. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause us to come closer to His paradise and to take us further away from His anger and from the hellfire. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to hear the truth and to follow the truth that we hear, and that He provides with us a thabat, or being firmly established, and that He causes our last affairs to end on that which is good. And our last dua, or our last da'wah, is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Before, insha'Allah ta'ala, our Shaykh Abu al-Harith Ali Hassan al-Halabi, may Allah preserve and protect him, takes the question. I would just like to make a point very briefly, ikhwan, and that is concerning the issue of knowledge. There are a lot of things that he could have talked about. One of the things that was worthy of mentioning, or is worthy of mentioning, is that in order for a person to get knowledge, he has to have sabr. He has to have sabr, patience. The one who has no sabr will not be blessed with knowledge. So when he buys one of the books that have been translated into English, Love and Hate, he reads 10 pages and he puts it down. He has no sabr. He buys another book, the Salat, the prayer and its position and effect. He reads 12 pages, he puts it down. He buys another book, he puts it down. He gets no benefit. Likewise, here today, in this type of forum, there has to be some patience exemplified. Because he's talking in Arabic and then it's English, your mind can wander off. And all you have to do is read the story of Khidr and Musa. Verily, you will have no patience with me, he said. So that's extremely important. And lastly, but not leastly, today's sitting with the Sheikh shows all of us the importance of the need that you all have to start at this time to learn the Arabic language. Until you begin to learn it, you're going to forever be dependent upon other people. It may be, and Allah knows best, had we had the language ourselves 15 years ago, we wouldn't have never allowed people to pull the wool over our eyes. Because in Arabic it's too clear to believe that Allah came down in Chicago, Illinois. So we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of us. يسأل السائل الشيخ هل يمكنك أن تتكلم زيدهم في أهمية الصبر في طلب العلم؟
الكلام على الصبر في طلب العلم حقيقة كبير وكثير، وهو بحاجة إلى مجلس خاص لذكر أصوله وقواعده وصوره وأمثلته. فمنه الصبر على تحصيل العلم، فقد يطلب إنسان ما العلم ثم لا يرزق هو هذا العلم بسهولة، فيجلس السنة والسنتين والثلاث يتعلم ويتعلم ويتعلم، ولكن إذا به لا يستفيد أو لا يشعر بالاستفادة إلا قليلا. فهل ذلك يمنعه عن الاستمرار في طلب العلم، أم يجب أن يكون سببا في صبره على طلب العلم حتى يرزقه الله شيئا من هذا العلم؟ هذا هو الواجب. وكذلك الصبر على طلب العلم مما قد يكون سببا في بعض الأوقات وفي بعض الظروف إلى نوع من الشدة أو الضعف أو المقاساة أو التعب. فقد قال الإمام ابن الجوزي، قال: كنت أطلب العلم وأقاسي من الجوع فيه وأخذ معي الخبز اليابس فأمر بنهر عيسى قرب بغداد فأضع الخبز في الماء ثم آكله حرصا على العلم وصبرا على العلم. وافتقد بعض أهل العلم الإمام البخاري من مجلس التحديث يوما، فذهبوا إليه فقالوا له أين أنت افتقدناك؟ قال والله ليس إلا عندي، ليس عندي إلا ثوب واحد، فغسلته منتظرا أن يجف حتى ألبسه وآتي إليكم في مجلس العلم. هذا صبر على العلم، وصبر على المقاساة فيه، وصبر على ما قد يصيب صاحبه فيه أحيانا من الألم، ولكن بعد ذلك تكون السعة ويكون الرزق ويكون العطاء وتكون الهبة من الله تبارك وتعالى. لذلك ماذا يقول الله عز وجل؟ وجعلنا منهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا لما صبروا وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون. ويقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى: بالصبر واليقين تنال الإمامة في الدين، بالصبر واليقين تنال الإمامة في الدين. نعم.
In answering this question, the question of the importance of being patient while searching for knowledge, our Sheikh said that the issue of being patient in searching for knowledge is an issue that is a big issue, and we need a special gathering and a special sitting in order to do it justice, because we will have to mention the principles of patience while getting knowledge and the conditions of getting patience while getting knowledge and the different types of examples of being patient while getting knowledge. But for the sake of saving time, I would just like to mention some of the things that a person will have to be patient upon while getting knowledge is what's known as a taqseel. He's actually trying to put his knowledge together in a uniformed fashion, to properly uniform his knowledge. He said, because it may be that when you start to get knowledge, you are not rewarded the knowledge very quickly or very easily. The person may go out in order to acquire the knowledge for 3 years or 4 years, and he feels that he's not getting any benefit. So therefore, if that's his case, should he allow that condition to be a cause that will make him stop trying to search for the knowledge because he feels that he's not getting it quick enough? He said, of course not. The person has to be patient, he has to push forward, and he has to keep on. Another example of having patience as it relates to knowledge is having patience concerning the time factor and having patience concerning your particular situation, your condition, in that you're going to be confronted with times of severe difficulty, and you're going to be confronted with times of adversity and times of problems. And for that reason, the famous scholar of Al-Islam, Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that in telling what he used to do when going to get knowledge, he said that what I used to do while I was searching for knowledge is, I would leave my place of residence to go and get this knowledge, and I wouldn't have with me for my provisions anything except some dry bread. The type of bread that when you squeeze it, it break up into crumbs. He said, so when I arrived to the city, like in Baghdad, I would take the bread and dip it into the dirty water and I would eat it in order to get the knowledge. He said, this shows us the man's desire and his ability to have patience and getting knowledge. He said, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, another example. One time, the people who sat with Al-Imam al-Bukhari in the majlis of knowledge, he went missing. So they went to look for the Imam, rahmatullahi alayhi. So when they finally found him, they said, where have you been? We've been looking for you. He said, well, my situation is that, as you all know, I only have one thobe, and I washed it today after being patient for a long time. And after washing it, I had to hang it up to wait for it to dry out, so I couldn't come out to you to be in the majlis of knowledge. The Shaykh said, you see, this is the sabr that it takes to get knowledge in al-Islam. The sabr that it takes at adverse time. He said, after that, when the person is patient, he'll find that Allah Ta'ala will open up for him the gates, and the knowledge will flood to him like a stream. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and for that reason, we made them imams. After they were patient, after they believed in our signs, and they were patient, and then they had the yaqeen, we made them imams. When? After they believed in our signs, and after they were patient, and they had the yaqeen. Because of this ayat, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that sabr, patience, and yaqeen, surety, the man who possesses them, he will be also blessed with becoming an imam, and he will be blessed with becoming an imam in the deen if he's blessed with patience and yaqeen. Cooperation here. This one is translating, this one is holding, this one is holding, so I should take the paper and read it. Organize this thing. كثيرة أنا لا أستطيع أن أصفي كل هذا. نعم questions that are pertaining to the thing. Brothers and sisters, we have a lot of questions here that are pertaining to marriage and divorce. And معليش, there's no problem, alhamdulillah. If you don't know, ask the people who know. We have a lot of questions pertaining to marriage and to divorce, and questions pertaining to other issues. And the Shaykh wants the people to ask the questions about the lesson. Here's a question concerning knowledge. Inshallah, because there is only a little bit of time, what we're going to do now is organize. We're going to organize the questions, inshallah, and after Salat al-Maghrib or al-Isha, maybe the Shaykh can take some rest. He's going to answer all of the questions that have been written, inshallah, after they've been organized, the important like that. Inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala.